Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. We are live. It is the 11th day of April, 2011, the one-month anniversary of the disaster caused by the earthquake and subsequent tsunami that hit the Fukushima nuclear power plant complex, devastating the six reactors that have since gone Chernobyl, melted down, exploded, you name it. Even mainstream news in Japan reporting radiation levels at least four times what Chernobyl was. They've also been hit by another earthquake today directly in the vicinity of Fukushima. And our media is still playing this down as radiation is found in milk and food all over the United States. The EPA has moved to up the levels of what they say safe radiation is. So I guess if you were flying in a spaceship past a supernova and it fried you and killed you, they would just raise the level of radiation and say it was safe, even though you were turned into atoms, even though you were broken down into basically fried dust. They would just raise the level and say that that was safe. Or if you were flying by a neutron star and got several million times safe levels of radiation, they would just raise the level and say this is safe. Just like with the troops and the depleted uranium, which their own Pentagon reports going back decades admitted was deadly and the troops shouldn't be able to use it. It was an emergency backup weapon when nuclear war was already on. Now they just say, hey, boys, use it. No safety precautions needed. Enjoy yourselves. We say it's no longer dangerous. Now, George Soros has had a nice weekend meeting at Bretton Woods 2 in New Hampshire, and he told Bloomberg, and this clip is coming up in the next segment, quote, the big question is whether the U.S. dollar should be the reserve currency. It no longer is. It shares that role with the euro, other currencies, and commodities, but it's not just gold being used as a substitute, but oil too, which is putting upward pressure on the market. Article by Aaron Dykes at Infowars.com from Saturday. Headline, Soros, dollar no longer reserve currency. And we have the video and audio clip there for you. Gold hits record as dollar dips, focus on the Fed, but then the dollar, that was earlier this morning, began to go back up yet again, and gold down by a few dollars, but still at near records. What it's dropped from 1,476 and 21 cents to 1,473 and some change. So we're going to be going over all of that as well today. But the even more insane news I've got for you, and again, every day information of this magnitude is coming out, like government issuing free laptops to school children that aren't really free, paid for by taxpayers, a tissue of deception, and then watching them at home in the shower, in their beds, and admitting they're doing it, and then nobody gets in trouble, and it's no big deal. Chicago's school districts ban children bringing their own lunches, period. Signifying the parents are bad. Parents can't be trusted. They're actually saying that. We'll be going over that. And then another report out of CNN where, again, they report on it dryly like it's probably a good idea. Supreme Court rules that prosecutors are allowed to know that you're innocent and hold back evidence or basically frame you. So prosecutors are allowed to know you're innocent and even send you to death row. That the Supreme Court says executing innocent people is good. I've read the ruling. This happened a couple weeks ago, a week and a half ago. I wasn't even aware of it. I heard a Genesis show. I was listening on 90.1 this weekend. What, the Free State Project, I think is the name of it. Free Minds Radio. And I heard him reading it out of CNN and almost ran off the road. I know it's a credible show, so I didn't doubt it. But then I heard it on another radio show. Kind of doubted what they were saying, so I went and looked it up, and sure enough, what the Free Minds were reporting is absolutely true. So they're just now being public and saying, yes, we want to put innocent people in prison.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
UN-led French troops have smashed into the Ivory Coast. They have taken over the president's compound and have handed him over to the rebels, who on record for 3 weeks have been running around slaughtering everyone with machetes and machine guns, men, women, and children. Another globalist butchering operation for humanitarian purposes going quite nicely. That's the new globalist model, is they have rebels rebel, and then they send in globalist stormtroopers to engage in extermination as well. And then the gold and oil is promptly handed over directly. So the new colonial imperialism kicking into high gear for humanitarian reasons, of course. And we've got Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer joining us in the second half of the third hour to give us his view on Libya. His view on what's happening on the African continent as well, there on the western side on the Ivory Coast. We also have Webster Griffin Tarpley via cell phone joining us from D.C. To also look at what's happening in the world markets. But on top of that, the move towards an open world government run by private central banks that issue a new level of derivative currencies, that is coming up as well today. We'll also, again, look at what's happening in Africa with Tarpley, who's been calling it with precision from the start. Obviously, most of you probably already know that Japan was hit by another earthquake. They're saying it's between a 6.6 and a 7.1, depending on which Japanese newspaper you look at. And it caused more problems at Fukushima. They've had to evacuate that facility yet again. Of course, they had a big earthquake in Mexico last week. Other earthquakes around the world undoubtedly were entering an intensified tectonic phase right now of world events. We're also going to be getting into more of what's happening in the Middle East, in Israel, in Bahrain, in Jordan, in Saudi Arabia. This weekend, I listened to a lot of news radio. I listened to a lot of the TV channels that are on XM, because I can be playing with my children while I'm doing that, or oil painting while I'm doing that, or cleaning the yard up while I'm doing that. I listened to a lot of radio today, not just this morning, but over the weekend. And I heard repeatedly the admission that, yes, all of the Middle Eastern countries are going to fall, and that this is actually a good thing for globalism, especially on Bloomberg. They had a lot of experts on, but also on some of the Sunday morning TV shows, just everywhere. They're basically now admitting what many of our experts have pointed out, and what I've pointed out here, that this is a globalist destabilization program, that the political atmosphere, the climate was already there with food prices increasing, with the fact that tyrants are in place, both Western installed and propped up, but also organic variety. But that basically the globalists are very happy about this because they like chaos and the pretext to then invade these countries under humanitarian auspices. And that really backs up what Tarpley's saying, what Lindsey Williams is saying, what so many other individuals that we interview are saying. And now suddenly that was the talking point this weekend, along with Bretton Woods too. The dollar's bad. Thank goodness the international bankers are saving us. They've got all the answers. The free market is bad. They want a collectivized central bank run system controlled by the very banks that have orchestrated the crisis. So we're going to be going over all of that news. I'm going to open the phones up as well. We're going to take a lot of calls ahead of our guests joining us, and then we'll take calls during the periods when we don't have guests, because each guest is only joining us for 30 minutes in the second and third hour. So all told, we've got around about an hour and 45 minutes today to be able to intersperse your phone calls on any of the issues I'm raising or any questions or comments you have. The toll-free number to join us is 1-800-259-9231, 800-259-9231, and we'll get you up and on the air. Okay. That said, I don't want to get into what's happening in Japan and the radiation that's now circled the globe. It's now come back around. The measurements show from what happened a month ago today, the earthquake on the 1 month anniversary. I don't want to just mention that and then not really drill down into it with more detail. So at the bottom of the hour, I'll spend 5-10 minutes just covering this. But I do want to underline and highlight this information because it's so big. We, of course, reported a lot last week about the announcements by the EPA. They've now put the new measurements into place as policy, but they're saying that there's a public comment period in the next month if anybody has any questions. But then they promptly, of course, always ignore the public comment. I mean, even in 2000, 2005, 2010, three separate times, the EPA union, as well as large portions of the Food and Drug Administration unions, in one case in 2005, over 90% of their scientists signed the petition with a large dossier. Again, they've done it three times with all the evidence of bone cancer, IQ reduction, bone fractures, dental fluorosis caused by fluoride. And so in the last 11 years, three different times they've gone to Congress and testified, they've gone to the EPA and FDA, and over 90% of their scientists sign on to the paper saying sodium fluoride is deadly poison and bioaccumulates, and it needs to be taken out. And the EPA and FDA promptly, completely ignore it until, what was it, January of this year. And they said, okay, we're going to say we shouldn't put 1 parts per million, you should put 0.7 parts per million in the water. It is too much. We should cut it substantively. Many cities, the average is about 1.5, but they were saying we recommend 1.1, but now we say cut it down to 0.7 parts per million. That shows that they do try to ignore you, but when reality sets in, they have to respond at least a little bit. And they also said the same day in January, put out a report saying we need to stop using it as pesticide. They gas fruits and vegetables in warehouses, whether they also have some other varieties. They spray on it, and then it goes through the cell wall of plants and bioaccumulates there. But the globalists know they've got us with the water. And most cities won't cut it because they've already signed contracts to put it in the water. And the lobbyists are lobbying local cities and states. And it shows there's really only a few cities moving to reduce it now since even the government said cut it. But they know they're hitting you through what's put in the flour, what's put in many of the processed foods. In some cases, thousands of times the 1.1 part per million. That's why your child eats the processed food and just vomit it up. It's just pure poison. And that's why so much of the public literally are the equivalent of retarded zombies is because of all this. But see, I'm digressing now. The point is the EPA is, and in fact, guys, pull it out of last Wednesday's stack. I had the articles that had the links to the EPA and the EPA's announcements where it said, well, with strontium, we're going to raise it this many times. And with this isotope, we're going to raise it to 24,997 times what we previously said was safe. And with this radioactive isotope, we're going to raise the safe level 10,000 times because that isn't in my stack. And I want to be able to go back over EPA. Just search the term if you can't find the articles from last week. EPA set to raise limits on safe radiation. The reason I wanted to let you know that's coming up is that I don't have words to describe. I could pull my hair out. I could yell and scream. To just sit here and see the system calmly knowing that we'll just muddle through it as they report the radiation building up in the U.S., in North America as well, not just here, but in Mexico, northern Mexico, and up into Canada, as far north as Alaska. Because they're dumping 7.5 million times safe levels of radiation into the water. It's been off-gassing into the air now for a month straight. They were hit with another earthquake today. And they just calmly report here in the U.S. news. This is out of Forbes. Radiation detected in drinking water in 13 more U.S. cities. Cesium-137. There's cesium and cesium. Cesium-137 in Vermont milk. and it doesn't get any more far east in the U.S. than Vermont, ladies and gentlemen. And you notice what's scary here is its universities, its states, and its cities. And every time they first report it, then they don't ever retract it. They're just told to shut up by the feds. And the feds, a month in, are not releasing any radiation numbers, though they have the most detailed and expensive systems. So when you just do a Geiger counter with background radiation, it only shows a small increase. That's just the general background. But it's when that stuff starts building up in the plants, in the animals, and then in the cows and the milk we drink. So I'll be getting into that more. Also, Japan, nuclear radiation, four times Chernobyl levels outside evacuation zone. The Japanese have expanded the circumference of the radiation zone. I'm going to get more into this. I have a tendency to say I'm going to cover this later and then start getting into it now. It's just, we will see increased cancers, as Dr. Bob Bowman said 3 weeks ago on this show, 3 degrees in nuclear physics, former head of the Star Wars program. But it won't be falling over dead in a month or even a year. It'll just be more leukemias, more cancers. And they are reporting in all over the Japanese news, four times Chernobyl levels. The governor of the prefecture where the Fukushima plant is based, the prefecture of Fukushima, said they've been totally betrayed. People are getting the radiation sickness, and the government, they say, lied to them and kept telling them levels were safe, and that previously they lied to them and said, these reactors are safe. Well, I mean, what do you expect, governor? You expect central governments to be truthful? They're universally run by dictators, scum, criminals, filth. What the founding fathers explained to us. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We got a long way to go. A long way to go, and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch no bandit run. All right, ladies and gentlemen, keep your foot hard on the pedal. Thank you for joining us. We are live. It is Monday, the 11th day of April, 2011. Americans are getting ready to write their checks. Americans that still pay taxes, about half the population doesn't have to pay private taxes to the private Federal Reserve, but many Americans are getting ready to write their checks to the private offshore banking cartel. Now, getting into the police state news, this is out of the Chicago Tribune. Chicago school bans some lunches brought from home. See, that's written to make it sound reasonable, but it's certain parts of the Chicago area, certain school districts are banning them entirely, where you cannot bring school lunches. And the school officials, not servants, but the school officials, and we'll show folks a document cam shot of this article for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, are saying, yes, that parents can't be trusted. The school will decide what your children eat. And, of course, this is openly stating that the government believes that your children belong to them and that they know how to make the best decisions. Remember 3 years ago, a ruling at the state level in California that homeschooling was now illegal? And they said because the state has decided that we can give you a better education than your parents, and unless you have a state-issued teaching license, you cannot teach your children. Now, it was later overturned by a federal court, but it shows the attitude of government. Your children belong to us, and the public schools all over the country train the kids how to spy on their parents. Here in Austin, they give them credit cards where they put money credits on them. You get $200 for turning in parents. They ask, what is in your medicine cabinet? This goes back 9 years ago. It's in my film, Road to Tyranny. The local TV ad put out by the Austin Police Department about bonus recruitment month and report what's happening in school and outside of school and turn in a family member and get $200. That's the biggest cash reward you can get. And the kids are all smiling, being handed their barcode cards with their names on it as part of their tattletale system to remind them to be good little spies for the system. So this is going on everywhere. Homeland Security's tried to recruit my dad, the other dentist at his office. They've talked to other professionals. They're all getting Homeland Security visits. But don't report on the $376 billion laundered by Wachovia and Wells Fargo of drug money and their chartering of the aircraft. Don't report the DU killing the troops. Don't report government corruption. Just report on your neighbors. As the Walmart telescreens say, don't trust anyone but government. To encourage healthful eating. See, it's a positive article. And you read the headline, it's like, oh, they banned some lunches. That sounds reasonable. Then you read deeper. No. That was before it was just some lunches, some things. Now it's everything. You don't bring a lunch, period. It's some school districts. So everything here is written to be deceptive. To encourage healthful eating, Chicago's school doesn't allow kids to bring lunches or certain snacks from home. Lunches, period, or certain snacks. See, lunches, period, but then you can't bring snacks unless they say it's okay. And some parents and many students aren't fans of the policy. What about they have rights and liberty? These are our children. We'll decide. Remember the girl that got arrested for a Luden's cough drop? That's in the candy aisle. Luden's has no drugs in it, nothing. Fernando Dominguez cut the figure of a young revolutionary leader during a recent lunch period at his elementary school. Oh, he's a revolutionary. Who thinks the lunch is not good enough? The seventh grader shouted to his lunch mates in Spanish and English. Dozens of hands flew into the air, and fellow students shouted along, "We should bring our own lunch. We should bring our own lunch." Oh, they will arrest you. We should bring our own lunch. So you will buy everything at the sharecropper company store. You can't buy anything from an outside general store if you're a slave sharecropper. You've got to only buy it from the company store. Many school districts for a decade plus make you thumb scan to get library books or to buy food. Then they track what you're buying. Fernando waved his hand over the crowd and asked a visiting reporter, "Do you see the situation?" At his public school, Little Village Academy on Chicago's west side, students are not allowed to pack lunches from home because you're prisoners. You don't let your biological slave parents make you food. Unless they have a medical excuse, they must eat the food served in the cafeteria. And see, there's no law. It's a policy. Just like there's no law to take vaccines. They just say it is the law. And when you call them on their bluff, they go, "Oh, actually, there's not." The principal said that they're protecting the children from unhealthful food choices, meaning their parents. We're going to come back and finish up with this before we get into the government saying we'll tell you what lunches to have or how much salt, but radiation, we're raising the levels and saying it's safe. And then Supreme Court rules, prosecutors are allowed to withhold evidence or lie about you. Oh, yes, it's good to put innocent people. Coming at you live.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Coming at you with billions of watts of truth. Thank you for joining us. Okay, cutting right back into the police state. The principal, Aliza Carmona, said her intention is to protect students from their own unhealthful food choices. See, they decide if you can homeschool. They decide if you take vaccines or not. They decide if there's sodium fluoride in your water or not. The government, it decides. When the government says jump, you say how high. She continues, nutrition-wise, it's better for the children to eat at the school. The principal continued saying, that's a quote. See, this headline in Chicago Tribune should be, schools ban parents preparing lunches. But it isn't. It's Chicago school banned some lunches brought from home. That's meant to sound reasonable. This was written to sell the policy. That's not even an accurate headline. If they wanted to water it down, but still be honest, some schools and districts ban lunches from home. Not school banned some lunches. So the average person goes, well, obviously, what is it, a bunch of cupcakes? Now you've got the food police? No, it's everything, period. And parents are testing it, sending nothing but what is seen as the most healthy. No, the school police take it and throw it in the trash, and if you do it again, you're going an in-school suspension, and after that, you're kicked out. And now when schools kick you out, they'll slap criminal charges on top of it, claiming you're truant when they triggered you being kicked out. Nutrition-wise, it's better for the children to eat at the school. She says she's now the mommy. She's now the daddy. Not you, not the parents. You don't know what's best if your child has an allergy or whatever the case is. The school, the public school, is going to decide. Already nationwide, dodgeball banned, tag banned, then running at recess, wrestling, and now in some schools, touching. Can't shake hands, can't arm wrestle. You're prisoners. All of this. America is being turned into one giant social engineered prison, and they know exactly what they're doing. To the low-level, useless, useful idiot control freaks? No, they don't know. It's about the nutrition and the excellent quality food that we are able to serve in the lunchroom. This is a quote from the principal. It's milk versus Coke. But with allergies and any medical issue, of course, we will make an exception. Oh, how nice of them. Carmona said she created the policy 6 years ago after watching students bring bottles of soda and flaming hot chips on field trips for their lunch. Although she would not name any schools that employ such practices, she said it was fairly common. And then they have the Chicago school district saying that Chicago public school spokeswoman said, we will not tell you which schools do it, but others are. In fact, listen, parents and general public, slaves, we won't even tell you what schools do this. You don't like us doing it? We won't even tell you. That's classified information. And of course, everybody knows about the big lobbies. You wonder why at school it's milk, cheese, more meat, whether that's good or bad for you. The point is, what you eat in school lunch programs is what big companies lobby for you to get. That's been written about for decades. You want some raspberries and strawberries from Mexico that have had human feces sprayed on them? Remember 1998? Tens of thousands of children got hepatitis from it? So what? It's good for you. It's good for you. All the Coke machines and Twinkie machines and candy bar machines in the schools, with the kids getting those because they make money? There's no problem with that, but you're not going to pack your child's lunch. Do you understand, slave? And it goes on to say that they must take the cafeteria meals or go hungry. That's a quote. And it says the children take the food they're given, but most of it goes in the garbage uneaten. You will eat the prison food. What do you think? Prisoners can bring their own food in? You think this is America? This is a Chinese re-education camp. And it goes on to say, though CPS has improved the nutritional quality of its meals this year, it has also been a drop-off in meal participation among students, many of whom say the food tastes bad. Doesn't matter, prisoners. Just like in private prisons and government prisons, where the diets in some cases are 80% soy and the men are becoming sick, or the women are having increased breast cancer. Doesn't matter if all that soy causes problems. You're going to eat it. I mean, after all, in prisons all over the country, they're still doing illegal medical experiments on people. And it comes out all the time and nobody gets in trouble. I mean, after all, our government's been caught just recently all over Latin America injecting people with live syphilis. I mean, that's a loving thing. What are you against it? And the article just goes on with, you must buy the lunch and it's horrible and nobody likes it, but that's the way it is. Okay. You're not allowed to bring bananas, oranges, or even grapes. Nothing is allowed. No food. Children have tried to bring their own lunches, again, with nothing but fruit and vegetables. Trash can. Ugh! And all over the country. You think this is bad? For at least 14 years, I've seen AP, Reuters articles. I've pulled them up here on air countless times. They just had another one a few weeks ago where they do an unannounced drill, generally at elementary schools, and a man comes with a gun to the door. The teacher doesn't even know, almost has a heart attack. They line the kids up and say, we're going to kill you now. We're homeschoolers against public education. Or we're a group against open borders. That was the latest thing in the AP 2 weeks ago. We're a pro-gun group. We're going to kill you now. And they march the kids out in the parking lot, blow a bus up. I've actually been to one of these events at Belton. They blow a bus up or a car, fire shoots out, and if the 8-year-olds weren't defecating themselves then, it's just urination, I mean, this is in the news. Then they lock them down and won't let them go out all day. No lunch is allowed to show them how. You can go pull this up. You think I'm joking. All over the country, it's the same psych warfare federally written. The schools always say, well, we're just following what the feds wrote. We're just following the program to get this federal grant, this safety grant. and they'll lock them down in the school all day in their room, no lunch allowed, and to show them what a real lockdown's like, these are quotes from the news, then they have to urinate and defecate in buckets. Oh, you don't believe me? Guys, search children forced to use bathroom in trash can during school drill. 2 weeks ago, it was the group attacking unannounced was a anti-open border group. And then the parents are under mind control. The school goes, sorry, we had to do it. And your kids have nightmares. It's because the anti-immigration groups might attack or the homeschoolers might attack. And the parents, most of them go, well, I'm not going to get mad at authority figures because I feel powerless subconsciously. I'm going to get mad at the gun group. That's right. There's an imaginary gun group that made my six-year-old. And if you think they'll stop with the kids, remember just last year they had unannounced drills, a large pharmacy chain had unannounced drills where a man would come in with a gun and rob them, and it was a drill mandated by the insurance company. All of this is to create the perception of crime. These drills are giant re-education camps. You watch the movie Red Dawn, that's based on real type composites that have happened in different areas of the world where they're in the sports stadium. And the parents come up to the fence to talk to their kids, and they're bleeding, and they've been beaten. And what they do in a re-education camp is they say, we've got food if you accept and help beat the other people in here. If you decry the Bill of Rights and Constitution, if you say America's bad, if you'll become a spy for us. That's what Camp X-Ray is at Guantanamo Bay, where so many of the rebel leaders now used to overthrow other countries are shipped out. The head rebel, who is admittedly al-Qaeda, was trained at a, quote, unnamed black site. They grab them, torture them for 5-6 years, brainwash them, prepare them, put them in power. And that's what a re-education camp is. Well, if you study re-education camps, public schools are re-education brainwashing camps. First, you got to go and thumbprint and get a special ID to be able to go in and get your kids. Then even if you're pulling them up to pick them up and the teacher knows who you are and got a thumbprint, got a face scan, all these systems going in. Meanwhile, the government, DynCorp, and Halliburton run giant child kidnapping rings. They don't get in trouble. But you have got to go through all this. So there it is. And I got a bunch of other news I want to get to, and then your phone calls. Meanwhile, our media hardly even criticizes China anymore. Beijing police halt unapproved church services. Well, in America, if you don't get a 501c3, for your church, even though under the First Amendment, it's totally legal and lawful. They tricked you 60 years ago to sign on to a charity. And the big denomination standardized it by ordering all their subgroups throughout the country and the world to sign up for a 501c3, which takes you from being a religious institution under the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And so all the big denominations in the 50s and 60s shifted over to, oh, we still get our tax exemption. We're just now a charitable organization and can't be involved in political activity. And so I've seen Baptist churches in Austin issue sheets. Don't talk bad about abortion. Don't talk bad about the war. Don't talk bad about the president. You're not allowed to talk about politics or we'll lose our 501c3, even at church barbecues and church field trips. Meanwhile, Media Matters 501c3 can openly say we are here to wreck media, take over alternative media in guerrilla warfare. We work for George Soros. We will destroy you. And they're like, absolutely, your 501c3 is fine. But that doesn't matter. Churches don't have to be under 501c3. But remember the Indianapolis Baptist Temple there for 40-something years? Not 501c3. They SWAT teamed them, hit them hard. Oh, but America's so free. I mean, they took those pastors to jail. China, they just kicked them out of the church. And I guess China's doing what's needed. Beijing police halt unapproved church service. Great job. Oh, let me get to the other news here. I heard this over the weekend and had trouble believing it, but I went and looked it up, and sure enough, it was true. Rogue prosecutors get licensed to lie and cheat. That was the headline out of the Libertarian blog that boiled down a bunch of mainstream news articles. Here are those articles linked. Now, again, just like the Chicago Tribune had an article about, a few things are banned from school and your lunch, to make it sound reasonable, then you read the first paragraph, all lunches are banned from parents, period. Period. Bananas, you name it, all of it. Wheat bread, everything. We'll make it simple. The school knows best. They actually say that. Just like this deceptive headline. Supreme Court rules against exonerated death row inmate who sued prosecutors. And then you read deeper into this. It says they knowingly put him in prison, knowing he was completely guilty, and basically knowing who the real suspects were. And then they continue to try to suppress that information while he was on death row. It turns out about a third of the people on death row are completely innocent. But they don't care. And they say conservative justices prevailed and are allowing the district attorney's office to have no liability and to overturn the $14 million award for wrongful conviction, a man who spent 14 years on death row and successfully sued the New Orleans prosecutors. It's like Glenn Beck a few months ago saying, now Google is working with George Soros in the UN, and they are overthrowing things, and they are with the CIA and NSA, but I'm not with the liberals who think that the government is spying on you without warrants or that Google is. I'm a conservative. So he's saying, if you're a conservative, you like being spied on. If you're a conservative, you don't like justice and due process. It's the same thing here. Why the conservative justices, see, they kill one side of the Bill of Rights, and the liberals, they kill the Second Amendment and property rights and things like that. So one group, you know, we'll get rid of these rights and you get rid of those. What's the old saying? Guys, pull up the nursery rhyme. He could eat no fat, she could eat no lean. So between them, they lick the platter clean. I want to get the exact nursery rhyme so I get their names right. But see, the Democrats eat all the fat and the Republicans eat all the meat. And between the two of them, they lick the platter clean. And they're all hypocrites. They all love war. They all love invasion and death and police state. And we're going to decide what type of food you can eat. We're going to take the salt out of your diet. There it is. Jack Sprat could eat no fat. His wife could eat no lean. So between them both, you see, they lick the platter clean. Origins. The name Jack Sprat was used of people of small stature in the 16th century. The little people, the poor people who didn't get as good a diet. This rhyme was an English proverb from at least the mid-17th century, appearing in John Clark's collection of sayings in 1639 in the form of Jack will eat no fat and Joel doth love no lean, yet betwixt them both they lick the dishes clean. The saying entered the canon of English nursery rhymes when it was printed in Mother Goose's Melody around 1765, but it may have been adopted for use with children much earlier in popular culture. I think that's enough. The point is, between the Republicans and Democrats, both sides play the liberty people on one issue, but then always compromise and sell it out while attacking it on the other. So, to make a long story short, I've seen the Dallas Crime Lab, the Houston Crime Lab, the Tulia Crime Lab, the San Antonio Crime Lab, just where I live in Texas growing up. What, it came out 4 or 5 years ago that tens of thousands of innocent people were sent to prison in Texas, and that just in Houston, and that they knew they were all totally innocent, and they would just ask prosecutors, you want them to be guilty? Okay, we found their blood. And they'd hold up a little red slide to the jury. This is his blood. He did it. The jury's like, we get off on licking boots of government. You're going to prison, boy. Kind of like that federal jury with Bernard von Nuthaus. 13 years coining his own silver, speaking out against the Federal Reserve as, to be technical, there's more than 14 major private mints, thousands of different coin dealers who make their own coins, to be technical. So totally legal, totally lawful, always has been. Even the Wall Street Journal had to admit that. Even the Associated Press was shocked because it wasn't illegal. Doesn't matter. They found a jury that he's going to 15 years in prison. Just like they're arresting people all over the country that try to use. Now I'm seeing reports of the silver dollars put out in the 60s. I remember being a kid and pulling through McDonald's with my dad and him paying for stuff with, you know, the silver dollars. Oh, no, people, you try to pay with a $2 bill. Arrested. You're like, but officer, it's money. No, it's not. And once they put you in the squad car, it's over. They've got juries that would send a baby to the gas chamber if they were told to. I mean, they don't care. It's pure evil. Ladies and gentlemen, I've told you the stories. I was somebody growing up who was not involved in any crime, nothing. Only thing I've ever stolen was a candy bar when I was like 3. My mom caught me in the car. I didn't even know I was stealing. I just picked it up, made me bring it back and apologize. And then a few times we grabbed beer out of golf carts at the country club. Because, you know, the golfers will be completely drunk with huge ice chests of alcohol. And we go to the country club sometimes when, just like Spalding in Caddyshack when he's going down the side of the bar grabbing the half-drunk drinks. You know, you're 13 years old. You like beer. Yeah, okay, I've done that. Cop calls me in because I was talking about the police dealing drugs. And he said, Alex, you talk about government drug dealing or police drug dealing anymore. We're going to take you and hang in your cell. That was when I got arrested one time. I'm compositing the different stories together. Another time, slammed my head in the table, took me in the principal's office, kicked the principal out, and said, black people are going to rape you and give you AIDS. You're going to prison. We know you're stealing stereo equipment. And I said, I don't steal. He goes, Alex, listen, you little bleeper. I know you didn't steal it. What I'm saying is I'm going to put you in jail, and blacks are going to rape you. That's who runs America. Drug dealing, narcotics, scum, filth. Criminals run everything. And now the prosecutors have been told, frame everybody. Party time. Down with America.
Well, I'm not the kind of kissing.
All over the country, police forces are being quietly federalized. Threat fusion centers are being put in. Most major police departments are as corrupt as it gets and frame people en masse while allowing the illegal aliens to go free. That's on record in 800-plus sanctuary cities. There is no justice in this country, and now they're coming after our free speech. There is no private property as they raise the property taxes all over the country. You don't really own your land. And we need to realize that this is the way every major society goes. But to have the Supreme Court rule that, prosecutors are allowed to withhold evidence that you're innocent and basically frame you. That's the Washington Post or CNN. High court says exonerated inmate cannot sue prosecutors. And then you read deeper, even though they knowingly knew he was innocent and had the evidence. And you're not allowed in Chicago schools, many of them, to pack your own lunch. Your parents aren't allowed to either. See, that's freedom, ladies and gentlemen. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. And, honey, we ain't got anything if we don't have freedom, if we're not free. It's really that simple. All right, this is what I'll do. I'll start the next hour and go to about 20 minutes of calls because I want to get to everybody. And then I'll get into the radiation situation. The government says, don't worry. We're raising the levels to thousands of times safe levels. So don't worry. That problem's handled. I'll get into this more with Tarpley as well. But Aaron Dykes has this article he wrote Saturday. Soros, dollar no longer reserve currency. And here is the clip from Bloomberg that is the basis of his article where at the Bretton Woods 2 this weekend, he told Bloomberg, who was fully ensconced there with continued coverage of how great the bankers are and how thankful we should be to them for wrecking everything by design. And Soros went on to say the big question is whether the U.S. dollar should be the reserve currency. It no longer is. It shares that role with the euro, other currencies and commodities. But it's not just gold being used as a substitute, which it is, but oil, too, which is putting upward pressure on the market. Let's go ahead and play George Soros.
Leader like that now, and if so, which economy? Is it still the United States?
Well, there's a big question whether the U.S. Dollar should be the main reserve currency. And in fact, it no longer is, because it maybe accounts for two-thirds of the monetary reserves. But the euro is an alternative, and there's a lot of diversification into other currencies and even more into commodities, not only gold, but actually oil. Oil is now an asset class for investors, and that has put some upward pressure on the commodities.
All right, there's Dr. Evil for you. He'll be very happy when he makes his way into Hades. He'll fit in nicely there with all the other parasites of history. Now, the bigger issue that came out of this, again, listening to Bloomberg Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know, they have audio Bloomberg TV with all these snakes making a parade through. I spent hours a day listening. They were very happy and very pleased with the economists they had on and many others. I heard no one that wasn't happy. They've all decided, and they said U.S. policymakers are quietly agreeing, like Geithner did 2 years ago in China, that yes, they are looking at getting rid of the dollar as the world reserve currency, and that they agree at the meeting that needs to happen. So there's your big news. In fact, we should have another headline. Problem is I have to ferret out all those quotes, but I know I've got them here in my stack, where they're saying, oh yes, the policymakers agreed at the meeting and the private banks that we should move away. And so you get these meetings of the bankers that give the orders to the government bureaucrats that are the former CEOs of those companies or directors. Kind of like the SPP meeting on North American Union. It was over 100 CEOs there on record giving the three government leaders, Mexico, Canada, and the U.S., their orders. And they were saying, yes, sir, to them. Yes, sir, Mr. Soros.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
That's right. We are live into the second hour. All over the country, they're banning what restaurants can serve, how much salt. School districts are saying parents can't pack your lunch. You must buy it from the company store. Supreme Court rules that prosecutors are allowed to frame you, that it's a good American policy. There is no justice in America, and prosecutors should know it's open season on the slaves, already with the biggest prison population in the world. Big news on Fukushima coming up and the increased radiation levels in Japan, but also here in North America. That's all coming up. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer joins us towards the end of the next hour. Coming up in about 30 minutes, Webster Griffin Tarpley joins us. But right now, Nick, Mike, Richard, Steve, John, and others, I want to talk to you. The toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. Nick in California. What do you think all the news we covered last hour?
Oh, it's insane. It's everything. So with the schools, the warning about it is, you get one bad employee in there, and they've got something in on you, kids. Drug or something.
Well, that's right. Or if the school officials are obsessive, compulsive vegans, then they're going to try to make your kids vegans. So the point is, they're now mommy and daddy in these public schools.
Well, they're going to have to force them to give organic. In Chicago, the warning is maybe you can't place your bag lunch anywhere without having it secure, because I've been in the Catholic school and I found priests in the lunch school box in where we're not supposed to be there, and anything can happen to you.
Predators. There are a lot of great people that want to teach children and help them, but then there's also the predators, want to be truancy officers, want to be priests, want to be teachers, want to be Boy Scout leaders, because they're perverts, and we've got to remember that. But and notice the system's trying to make it where they've got full control of your kids.
Got about 6 points to cover in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, L.A. Times and Sacramento Bee on March 21st or 22nd, there's a very good article on Diablo Canyon and the emergency pumps being out for 16 months.
Okay, I don't really know what you're talking about there. What's the next point?
Okay.
Oh, you're talking about the radiation meters?
No, that's our nuclear reactor on a fault. They found our lieutenant governor come on earlier than that and announced that he discovered that the posts have been not in.
Well, if the reactor blows up, people ought to be thankful. Radiation makes you not get cancer, Ann Coulter said so.
Had alternatives. Okay, the next point is they're changing the standards. They're altering the radiation standards.
Yes.
At the same time, this week they're going to announce that there are terror warnings being changed to only elevated to intimate. We're being swamped in anything easier than that.
Okay, we're going to jump here in a minute. What's the other points?
You had asked one time, we're about a year anniversary, where the guy he pulled a John Denver. He flew his airplane into that IRS building in Texas.
Yeah, the stack attack.
You asked at that time what else happened, and at that same day they were opening embassy in Dubai with moat and a wall. And then the next thing is in the death toll in Japan. Thank you so much for hollering the third day about it being the 10,000, because they were giving me a stroke when they were going 250 dead, 30 missing, like that. And the next day, 60 missing, 400 dead.
No, I hear you, sir, and I appreciate your call, Nick. We're going to come back, try to hurry through the calls. And I'm glad to hear from you, Nick, but we've got to, like, you know, have the callers on a minute or two just to hear your points and move on, because if there's like 20 points, we just can't get to it all. These are government crisis management techniques to always lowball the number of dead, and then later people don't hear about it when it's 30,000 dead. Or to early on, when everybody's paying attention to a story, say there is no radiation or it's very low, no big deal. So then when it's 7.5 million times safe levels, that's a month later. Nobody's really paying attention. And we're raising the radiation levels to thousands of times what they were previously, but it's good for you. All right, we're going to come back. Go to Mike, Richard, Steve, John, and others. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live now into hour number two, continuing with your phone calls. And Webster Griffin Tarpley, historian and economist, will join us on Bretton Woods 2 and George Soros' announcement that the dollar is already not the world reserve currency. And the consensus from the meeting of top globalists in New Hampshire is that they are going to move towards getting rid of the dollar and giving more power to the bankers that have engineered the implosion. Also, gold hits record on euro. Silver jumps to 31-year top. More reports coming out about honeybees dying all over the world. The government's answer is, hey, no big deal. Not just in Chicago, but other school districts are moving to say parents cannot bring school lunches. Parents cannot be trusted to pack the lunches. Only the school can be trusted. Also, the Supreme Court has ruled that prosecutors are allowed to frame you knowing you're innocent and withhold evidence of your innocence. We are in deep trouble. But this is the cycle in humanity. Folks always let things get out of hand before they finally wake up. The awakening is happening, so they're rolling out the Homeland Security, COG, federalization grid to try to suppress us. But it's not going to work. We are going to win. As the system abuses more and more people, they will be soldiers in the info war to awaken others. Let's hurry to your calls now. Mike in Illinois. Mike, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, hi, Alex. Thank you very much. I want to thank you for being a true patriot. The thing I'm calling about, I'm appalled as to how, you know, Japan is handling this nuclear problem here. In my company, our company that supplies zeolite, they could have easily, you know, saturated the area with zeolite.
Yeah, for those that don't know, that's a type of rock formation that absorbs radioactivity. They dumped a lot of it on Chernobyl, and it's one of the most effective things to basically neutralize it and encapsulate it. That's not happening. Go ahead.
No, we've been in touch with the council there, and finally they're in correspondance with us right now. We're ready to ship.
Well, that's because the state, finally the governor of for the Fukushima prefecture, as you know, has come out and said the government's lied. I'm going to cover that, but for folks that don't know what this rock formation is, explain to them what it does.
Well, what it does is it ionically absorbs the radiation, like the cesium that was, you know, around the plant there. That would have, you know, contained that. They could have then, you know, got that and dumped it, you know, somewhere where it would have been under control. Even with the water that was spilled out into the ocean there, you know, they could have treated it with the zeolite where it would have absorbed, you know, the radiation there to a great degree.
And for folks that don't know, that's even recommended by the IAEA, but they've never recommended it to Japan. And that what Japan did with the hundreds of thousands of fuel rods blown hither and yon, according to New York Times, as far as a mile away, it brings a new kicker to the point of sweeping it under the rug. They just had bulldozers cover the spent fuel rods that'll continue to leach into the soil and water.
Exactly. And even, you know, like they fed it to the reindeer, the people up in the Ukraine around Chernobyl, because it was probably the only thing that prevented millions of people from dying at that point. It was just, you know, such a catastrophe. And again, as people see on the television, you know, there's no real indication that you're receiving this radiation.
You would think that the Pentagon, who's pulled back 200 miles from Fukushima 3.5 weeks ago, would be honest with us about what radiation their readings they're getting. But have you noticed in all the news we're only getting state and local radiation increase readings and testing of milk and food? We're not getting any of this from the federal government. It's local independent government agencies and private groups that are doing it. So the cover-up in Japan is the same policy here in the United States, and it's ongoing. But I've got quotes from our media, ABC News experts and others, saying it's now contained, the crisis is over. The crisis is intensifying.
Yes, it will. And what they're doing right now, they shipped that big pump over there, and they're going to cover it with cement. No zeolite in there at all. You know. So, again, they're going to have to put it on there eventually. And as you said on one of your shows there, when you saw that mushroom cloud, you know, from the explosion, you knew that it was a done deal at that point. They had to take some drastic action. We even tried to contact the State Department here to help us, you know, with the shipment of this over there and what have you. But it's all sort of gone on deaf ears. But, you know,
I mean, where
right
are the
now,
thousands of U.S. helicopters and personnel who could do one pass apiece? Well, they say the radiation's too high, but they won't give us the numbers. They should have had helicopters day one dumping the zeolite on top of it.
Exactly. You know, Alex, it's criminal in my mind. And then they're not supplying it to the people out there. You know, they're not, it's not really my department and the company, you know, to be dealing with this. But I was off today, so I was able to sit and listen to you again. But
Mike, let me expand on that, because everything's fine. The EPA put out a report last week that they've now raised, and I'm directly linking through to them via this article, America and EU agree, raise radiation levels for food. And everything's fine. It says that the new standards would result in nearly a 1,000-fold increase for exposure to strontium-90, a 3,000 to 100,000-fold hike for exposure to iodine-131, and almost a 25,000% rise for exposure to radioactive nickel-63, all the things being found here. So they say it's suddenly fine, sir. So what's the problem? You know, government wouldn't lie to you. Are you a conspiracy theorist, sir? 100,000 times safe level for strontium-90 is good, sir. A 25,000 times rise for radioactive nickel is good. Radioactive 63. Sir, please. I appreciate your call, okay? You know what, folks? Everything's fine, okay? The bankers are going to fix things with this world government. The radiation is good for you. I'm glad the feds aren't releasing numbers. They should arrest all these university and city officials that are releasing the numbers. How dare them report that this higher radiation is here? They should have waited for the EPA to come out and raise safe levels. There are a lot of sickos out there, like that last caller, Mike. Un-American. He probably thinks it's bad that the Supreme Court rules that prosecutors can frame people. He probably thinks parents should be able to pack their child's lunch and have that decision in their life. He probably thinks it's wrong that Wells Fargo and Wachovia admittedly laundered $376 billion in drug money. He probably thinks sevenfold increase in cancer in bones from fluoride in the water is bad. I mean, you're a sicko! Richard in Illinois, you're on the air. I hope you're not as crazy as Mike.
No, but I am representing 1,500 architects and engineers who are calling for a new investigation of World Trade Center 7 and buildings 1 and 2.
I didn't know that Richard Gage called in. Another person who said 6 years ago that 7 fell at free fall and they denied it and now admit it. So what if the building fell at free fall? So what if there was a 10-second countdown and explosion blast points and police saying, get back, we're going to blow it up on CNN? It didn't happen. Building 7 doesn't exist.
And we fortunately have been able to wake up well over a couple of thousand architects and engineers throughout the country, and we're on a Midwest tour, and my event coordinators wanted me to give you a quick update, Alex. We're going to be in Munster, Indiana tonight at 7 p.m. at the Center for Visual Performing Arts, And then tomorrow night in Peoria at the Lakeview Museum.
Why should people want to hear from 1,500 architects and engineers, some of them at the top of their field, proving there were explosives in the buildings? I mean, you know what? Richard, radiation at 25,000 times safe levels is good for you.
Yeah, well, I doubt that. but
the government said so.
Well, people are waking up to what we're being told. It is just not true. People in Minneapolis, for instance.
Did you just call the government liars because the White House regulations are says that should be an arrestable offense? Are you trying to discredit this government in the wartime?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to stop being sarcastic. Richard Gage, tell us a little bit about architects and engineers. I'm flattered you got through here. So you're out there traveling, trying to talk about the laws of physics. Laws of physics don't apply now because Karl Rove said so.
Yeah, we can't stop Newton. It's immutable.
He was with Al-Qaeda.
With 40,000 tons of structural steel in it, a building like Building 7 can't fall at free fall acceleration straight down uniformly, symmetrically into its own footprint. A building wasn't even hit by an airplane.
Next, you're going to say up is down and down is up, Richard.
Well, that's the problem. And people.
You're wrong. Up is up and down is not down and sideways is not sideways and black is not white, but white is black and black is white. 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4. Are you with Al-Qaeda? I'm going to ask you right now.
No, and neither are the 1,500 architects and engineers that I represent. And
but Al-Qaeda is good when they're helping overthrow Gaddafi.
Oh, yeah, well, that's different. We've given this presentation over 185 times now, Alex, throughout the country. We're on a 10-city Midwest tour. We're 5 down and 5 to go. We'll be in Minneapolis on Thursday, 4:14 at the Continuing Education and Conference Center. And I'm telling you beforehand, of those who come who are skeptical of our position, supporting Newton's third law, etc., equal and opposite reactions, most all of them, I mean, almost a shutout in the last 4 out of 5. Everybody agrees with the evidence for controlled demolition.
Well, that's because you're evil. And I don't need to look at the laws of Newtonian physics. I can just call you a kook and laugh at you. So I don't need to look at facts, okay? I'm superior. I can just laugh at you. 9/11 was not an inside job. Guys with box cutters did take over the planes. Nobody fought back. It doesn't matter if they said they blew up Building 7 and later changed the story. It doesn't matter how many engineers or architects or physicists you've got. Richard Gage, you are a kook. And so is that guy Alex Jones. And Newton. Newton is a kook. Ha ha, Newton the Putin. Ha ha, I laughed at him. Doesn't matter. Ha ha ha. I love the government. I love radiation. It's good for me. Ha ha ha. Was illustrating absurdity by being absurd with the last few callers. John up in Minnesota didn't tell me it was Richard Gage. I guess Richard didn't point that out. I recognize his voice. That is Richard Gage, a great guy. Check out Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Just search that term. You'll find the website and find out where they're having events across the country. Certainly should go to that. I want to take a few more calls. Then I got a guest coming on. Then I will get into the latest radiation news. But think about them taking all these different radioactive isotopes now building up in the U.S., in the produce, in the milk, in 17 states. The feds aren't even testing. It's local states and universities that are finding this. And the feds' response is, well, we'll just raise it 100,000-fold in one isotope, 3,000-fold in another, 24,900-something-fold in another, 1,000-fold in another. That's the just insanity of it. No, that building's not falling at free fall. NIST said that for 8 years. Then finally, a year and a half ago, they had to admit, okay, it does fall at free fall. We don't know how that happens. Well, here's the blast points on Building 7. Here's the police saying, get back, they're going to blow it up. Well, we still say we didn't blow it up. But the owner says you blew it up. Well, he didn't mean that. We say radiation's not bad for you. We say that building fell on its own. We say the Easter Bunny's real. By the way, Jesse Ventura is going to be on Coast to Coast AM tonight for the first hour, and then yours truly is on for the next 2, maybe 3. I don't know. Sometimes they go into overdrive. But the point is, I will be on Coast to Coast AM tonight for 2 hours. So definitely want to join us for that. We're going to cover a lot of government corruption and things that they don't want you to know about, a la his book, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. He could have gone to thousands of documents they don't want you to read, but hint 63, the real coup d'etat with the killing of JFK. So we're going to be breaking down a lot of key information tonight on Coast to Coast AM, coasttocoastam.com. Okay, in other news, gas prices climbing towards $5 per gallon. Oh, what did Lindsey Williams say in October 6 months ago? He said within 6 months to a year, $150 a barrel. Oh, now the news is saying that. IMF cuts U.S. growth forecast on oil, lackluster jobs pace. Bloomberg. But the government said we're in a boom economy and radiation's good. Let's go ahead and talk to Steve. Steve in Florida, you're on the air, sir. Welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon, Alex. I wanted to relate to a recent conversation I had with a neighbor of mine who is in Iraq, Afghanistan, New World Order expansion of their empire veteran. But before I get to that, I just wanted to say real quick, you know, I've told people, if you want to know who owns things, try driving that vehicle that you have without those stickers they require on your windshield or your license. You'll find out real quick.
Try not paying your property taxes, and you try to squat on your own property. SWAT team's coming, and you know what? They think it's manly to gun you down, so get ready to die.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of that, I was talking to this guy, and I was talking to him about the Middle East situation that's going on, specifically Libya. And he mentioned when he was in Iraq and Afghanistan that a lot of times they would have to kill these kids because they, you know, were wired with, you know, bombs, et cetera. And I was saying this on the heels of telling him what you had pointed out about Rush Limbaugh's comments about war and how off he is on that. And, you know, the thing is, I said, well, what would we do, you know, if we were invaded like that? You know, wouldn't kids be doing the same thing with their, at their, you know, parents' training and behest? Sure they would. We're defending ourselves. I said, that's all they're doing over there. And this light, like, clicked on. And then I went into talking to him about things that I've learned through you. And I gave him a copy of Terror Storm, and he's been watching. And they said it's really scary, which means he's getting awakened for the first time to how he's been used. But he made a comment to me. He said, you know, my superiors told us about these so-called videos they found in the caves in Afghanistan when we were there of Osama bin Laden just in pristine condition. But he said, the thing is, I came to realize from that that Osama bin Laden's one of us because those caves, we destroyed them. So it was impossible for them to find these videos that they put out there and the news media is saying is Osama bin Laden. So, you know, thank God that's somebody who's...
Well, listen, you know, listen, it's confirmed that Anwar al-Awlaki, now the operational commander of al-Qaeda, gets his orders from the Pentagon and hangs out there secretly. It's on record that they protect him. Do they have low-level soldiers that don't know who they're fighting for, just like our soldiers think they're fighting for America and not the globalist? It's the same story. But how many troops have called in? How many news items have admitted that they tell the troops you're in an al-Qaeda area? U.S. troops have never been here. And they see U.S. MREs, gun casings, graffiti. They then later talk to units when they get back that were there a year before. It's all lies. It's all fake. When U.S. troops actually captured 8,000 Taliban al-Qaeda, quote, cream, Times of London, Newsweek magazine, they were ordered to release them and pay them in gold. This was in the news in 2002. It's in Road to Tyranny. I mean, the articles. I mean, I understand. Now, al-Qaeda would make young 12, 14, 15-year-olds get in the first ring around Kabul. Our troops would then bomb and kill them while al-Qaeda then waited, loaded on C-130s, high fives. Woo, yeah, victory. Woo, going to Pakistan. Woo. Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. Back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. Thank you for joining us. For just one segment, Webster Griffin Tarpley joins us. Then I'm going to get into the radiation cover-up news. Then we're going to continue with your phone calls, John, Bill, Extra, Ian, Bob, and others. Toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231. Now, Webster Griffin Tarpley is in downtown D.C., just did a TV interview. He's got to jump on a subway here in about 15 minutes, so he's going to be leaving us very, very soon. But I wanted to get him on dealing with the latest Libya developments. He's got some new key intel on the Al-Qaeda forces. Even the Wall Street Journal admits commanding the rebels from the east with U.S., NATO, and British command, CIA in place with their old comrades, Al-Qaeda. We also want to get into the French grabbing Gbagbo, the president, backing the rebels who they admit have been slaughtering people with enjoyment, so helping the humanitarian slaughter, just like the UN honcho, the 800,000 murdered in 94 in Rwanda. But before we go there, gas prices climbing towards $5 per gallon coming up. CBS predicts by Memorial Day. Also, IMF cuts U.S. growth forecasts on oil, lackluster jobs pace. George Soros has announced that they have a consensus from Bretton Woods, too, that the dollar is no longer the world reserve currency. They're going to move away from it to a new basket of Ponzi scheme, and that the consensus is that, yes, they're going to do this. Of course, you can't believe anything out of Soros' mouth, but monitoring Bloomberg, they were there on site over the weekend, marching the globalists through, celebrating what they've done. So, Webster, briefly, on the economic front, what's your take on what's happening with commodities rising so much?
Well, we are, of course, in a world economic depression, and we're in the second phase of it still. We're in the European banking collapse phase of this Great Depression, if you compare it to the depression of 1929 to 1933. We're still seeing European banking systems blow up. We've seen Portugal blow up in the last week or so. And, of course, the bailouts that are being arranged are not bailouts of Greece or Portugal or Ireland. They are the bailouts of London, Paris, and Frankfurt banks that have bought the bonds of these countries. And as for Soros, I think there's a tremendous amount of demagogy and smoke and mirrors with him. I think in some ways he's trying to occupy a public space. There ought to be a debate about world economic, world monetary reform, but he can't do it. And when you get down to this question of reserve currency, here's what you've got to come up with. And it's not, you can't just pull this out of your nose from one day to the next. You've got to have something comparable to the U.S. Treasury market. The U.S. market in Treasury securities trades on a normal day about $1 trillion worth of T-bonds and T-bills. However, it can, if necessary, ratchet that up to 2 or 3 or maybe 4 trillion in a single day. So it's the most liquid. It's the deepest, broadest, and most liquid market in the world. And it could, of course, be actually a national asset instead of being a plaything for speculators, which it is. But if you want to have a reserve currency, you've got to have something that can do the same thing. So a central bank could come and say, look, here's $2 trillion of securities. We want cash, and we want it now, within 2 hours. Nobody in the world can give you that. The Europeans don't have it. The Japanese, nobody comes close. So if you're saying get rid of the dollar, what you're really saying is go towards a situation where there is no world reserve currency, chaos. And maybe that fits together with
and then they admit, yes, then they're going to have this new global regulatory system that plays those markets and plays them off against each other with their inside knowledge, further consolidating power. And that's exactly what they said in their buzzwords. Shifting gears in the same topic area, then we'll look at the geopolitical military operations expanding through AFRICOM in Africa, as you predicted 2 years ago in the Obama deception. You said that would be the new military move first by Brzezinski and the Anglo-American system through the left cover Obamanoids. But Iceland has rejected the bankster shakedown, so the British government is talking about trying to seize accounts, lawsuits against the government, though it's been admitted in Iceland now for over a year that all of those debts, over 95% of them, were owed by the private bankers and derivatives. This is not the debt of the Irish or the Icelanders or the people in Portugal. That's the big issue here. Latest development, the government of Reykjavik has said, no, we're not turning our people into debt slaves, and Britannia is coming after.
I say hats off to the people of Iceland. It's a gallant little country, a couple of 100,000 people. They're under attack by a much larger country, Great Britain, joined by the Dutch, joined by the European Union, the Second International, and all the rest of them. The leaders that they have inside the country are generally very bad pack of characters, especially the socialists who are really the socialists are the ones who are most eager to give in to the IMF. But it's a resistance movement in the population against finance oligarchs and against finance capital, and that is, to put it mildly, what we need here in this country. Over the weekend, we've had the Republicans bringing forward the demands of Wall Street and the financial community, and Obama trying to find ways to capitulate. And his capitulation on the weekend, surrendering on this budget stuff, this was the, one of the things he did was to destroy $1.5 billion of funding for fast rail. So the Chinese have fast rail. The French have had it for 30 years to the day, the TGV. The U.S. is still nowhere and will remain nowhere because of this sellout by the Obama administration. And now he's coming after you again on Wednesday with more cuts. And these, I believe, are a genocidal type. In other words, he says he's going to talk about Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security entitlements. Now, this is where old people start to die. So,
and he's got the left cover because he's the Democrat. And so they're making it class warfare against the social safety net that even if you totally removed it, explain briefly as an economist the numbers, it would do nothing to the 1.5 quadrillion in derivatives. So they're scapegoating it as a resource war, as we just saw a few months ago with Bill Gates admitting, hey, you hire 10 teachers when you kill grandma. They're really setting the stage to play us off against each other.
Absolutely. And remember, the historical experience from Germany 1930 to 1932 to Schwarzenegger to everybody else, the more you cut the budget under depression conditions, and that's where we are, you cut the budget under depression conditions, your deficit grows. Next year, it will all be worse because of what's been destroyed. And, of course, the human toll in the meantime is very large. Obama, by the way, told people what he would do. He gave an interview to the Washington Post editorial board in the week before his inauguration where he said very clearly, I've been talking about hope and change, and that's all a bunch of baloney, in effect. I'm going to attack Medicare. I'm going to attack Social Security. Those are the things we have to do. We've got to come up with money for bigger and better bailouts of Wall Street. So that's what he's carrying.
And by the way, you laid all this out 2 years ago. This came out in March 13th of 2009. We got a FBI visit over this film. They were so scared of it, so I launched it 2 days earlier. They were asking about this film. I guess they were tapping our phones and knew what was in it. Everything you and I laid out in this and others has totally happened. Obama deception, evergreen, more important than ever. And my final point on this was listening to Bloomberg Financial over the weekend from Bretton Woods. They were there with a steady train of miscreants coming through, was that the great news is there's a consensus. The same bankers that engineered this are now saying the system has failed. They've got a new system and that they're going to basically have austerity. But then they even admitted the problem is all the big mega banks are insolvent and are basically zombies. But that they can't break them up, so that they're just going to go ahead with this program. And the final point that was so frightening about it was that they seemed to be very, very pleased with what was happening.
Well, certainly the big impulse to do something to attack Wall Street, which was very, very clear in 2007, 2008, 2009, has essentially been blunted by Obama. He has run a counterinsurgency operation of massive proportions so that the entire attempt to do something, for example, to ban certain kinds of derivatives, ban credit default swaps, ban the collateralized debt obligation, the things that did the most damage in September and October of 2008, that has gone nowhere. The financial regulation bill was dictated by the banks themselves with the help of Barney Frank and with the help of...
We got to shift gears now,
Obama has done all this.
Webster, because we've only got you for this one segment. You've got to go. But in the final equation, we're scapegoating welfare moms and old people and seniors instead of talking about the trillion-pound gorilla in the living room, the trillion-pound elephant, the bankers, the banker takeover. That's the big issue, but Americans are really starting to get it. Now, specifically on Libya, you've got some new developments there.
What we're seeing, I think, is that the rebels in Libya are simply militarily incompetent, and they are so inferior to Gaddafi's forces that I don't think they can hold on even with the NATO airstrike. I think there's a very good possibility that we'll reach a choice point here where it's going to be either watch the rebels get wiped out, and it just means militarily defeated, really not much more than that, or have an actual land invasion, a ground invasion. You see that there's the thinking in NATO coming from Rasmussen, the head of NATO, is that the partition of Libya is a good goal. He says there has to be a political solution. There's no military solution. That's NATO speak for we want to carve the country in half. Unfortunately for Obama, for Sarkozy, and for Cameron, they are so committed in their demagogy to getting rid of Gaddafi that they may not be able to accept this. But the big thing is the inferiority of the rebels on the ground. Remember, a lot of these people are from Al-Qaeda. They are people who have done guerrilla warfare against the U.S. in Iraq and Afghanistan and killed a lot of our soldiers. But what they're not up for is a kind of conventional war, more or less, where they have to go up against another army, and they're out in the open, and you see that they simply run away. Interesting is also the hatred of the United States and NATO and even Turkey among the rebels is extreme. They should control it, right, for their own interest. They should hide what they really think, but they can't hide it. They're holding demonstrations, condemning NATO, condemning the U.S., complaining, whining that the airstrikes are not enough. What it simply shows is that these people are from Al-Qaeda, many of them, and they really hate the United States, and they should cover that up, but they can't. It keeps coming up to the surface.
And by the way, Webster, just to briefly interrupt, you said over a month ago that they would try to carve the country in two, but then the arrogance and the bravado of the Western leaders in the demonization of Gaddafi would probably lead towards ground troops. Last week, the top U.S. general over the operations said, we've got ground troops off the coast. We are probably going to have to invade. And so it looks like they've always been building towards this, but there's been such a political backlash that they're basically hesitating. What do you see happening?
Well, the smaller NATO countries, right, be it the Italians or the Dutch or the other components of the NATO command, would like the rebels to do this for them. But what I think we're seeing is the rebels can't do it. They can't hold on, even in Cyrenaica. The other interesting thing today is this African Union delegation trying to have a ceasefire, which I think is the immediate demand. Stop the shooting on the ground. Stop the airstrikes. And you notice the racist treatment that the African Union is getting. Those guys, for some reason, they don't count. The Arab League is important, and NATO is important, but the African Union means nothing. You had three presidents. You had the president of Congo, Uganda, Mali, Mauritania, and South Africa. I guess that makes five presidents meeting with Gaddafi, and Gaddafi accepted their peace plan. And if you turn the TV on, well, those guys, they don't count. You're lucky if they even tell you their name. The racist overtones of this thing are amazing because one of the demands of those AU presidents is that there should be protection for foreign workers, for foreigners, including African migrant workers, who are the ones who have been slaughtered. They've been lynched in Benghazi, in Darna, in Tobruk, and the other rebel cities. There have been real atrocities.
But that's humanitarian, Webster, just like the French troops in Ivory Coast helping protect the rebels that are admittedly slaughtering men, women, and children with machetes. That is humanitarian.
Right. And the Ivory Coast, this is a different UN resolution now, but they're the same ilk. The Ivory Coast is UN Security Council 1975. Libya's 1973. This is a new kind of imperialism, and what you saw yesterday was the French and the United Nations actively trying to kill Gbagbo. And the interesting story here is that the president that the French Sarkozy wants to install is this Ouattara. He is, of course, a Muslim from the north, but above all, he's an official of the International Monetary Fund. And if you want to see it in terms of the global alliance of the CIA with the Muslim Brotherhood and indeed with their property, Al-Qaeda, it's interesting to note that the guy who's now going to be maybe put on trial, he's lucky if he's alive today, Gbagbo, right, in the south, that's a Christian with a lot of popular support.
Yeah, you don't fight Al-Qaeda. If you're the Serbs, if you're the Russians, you don't fight the Sweetie Pies. You don't fight the dear sweet Anwar al-Awlaki when he's hanging out at the Pentagon. These are great Americans. We're anti-American because we don't like Al-Qaeda. And it's just that Orwellian. How dumb does the system think we are, Webster, to be launching these new UN Al-Qaeda-backed wars where Al-Qaeda's the good guys?
Well, I think they think we're very dumb. Now, maybe the world on the whole is not so dumb. You mentioned Iceland. You've also had Turkey playing a positive role. Right? Erdogan of Turkey saying, if you give arms to those rebels in Libya, that's going to cause terrorism. Lavrov of Russia, something similar. Whatever missiles those guys in Benghazi get will show up in Chechnya, in southern Russia, in the Kurdish part of Turkey,
West Bank,
in Indonesia, or any airport in the world. So the Libyan rebels coming, paid for by you, armed by you, and coming to an airport near you with one of the missiles you gave them. And this is what it's come down to. Unbelievable. Open fraternization of the U.S. Government with these al-Qaedas. And remember, of that rebel council in Benghazi, half of those guys are anonymous. We don't know who they are.
No, I understand.
Are.
We only got a minute left. Where is it going? So overall, the operation's not going for the New World Order well, but they don't care. They're invading more countries under the guise of humanitarianism, hacking people up with machetes.
Right. And you can see, though, things have slowed down in Syria. Algeria is going nowhere. The guy in Yemen is holding on. So I think what Gaddafi has done is at least is forced this out in the open. You can see that it's imperialism. It's not happy days of democracy. It slowed it down. I think that the great danger now is that the demagogues, the Obamas, the Sarkozys, and the Camerons will prevail and say, we now have to send in our Marines, our special forces, and save the rebels on the ground. And that, of course, will then be a full-scale war. That's Obama's fourth war, which is what he's got right now. So it's important for people to say no to this. And if you simply ended these wars, you'd have about $2 trillion to work with in terms of your budget. So maybe that's an important sideline in the budget battle.
Yeah, but killing a million Iraqis, that's humanitarian. These wars are humanitarian. We got to unplug Grandma. We got to take Social Security away. I've got him here in the New York Times saying cut Social Security. So there you go, folks. There's your Obama for you. And you conservatives love it. Don't touch the bankers. Just throw Grandma out on the street. Tarpley.net's your website. Thank you, Tarpley.
Thank you.
Here's the deal. I'm going to continue taking your calls for a couple segments. Then I want to get back into the big news of the new earthquake hitting the Fukushima area on the northeast coast of Japan. 17 states reporting radiation in the food, water, milk. The feds will not release their own numbers. There is a huge cover-up going on, but they think with human psychology that because we're a month into this today, another earthquake on the month anniversary of the March 11th situation, that out of sight, out of mind, you can't see the radiation, so c'est la vie. It's a big deal. I want to break that down and some other important news. Before we go any further, if you want to support this broadcast, remember we have the online video bookstore with the Patriot T-shirts. All of the information is about spreading the word, meeting like-minded people. You can get the book, Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True, excellent new book by Mark Dice. And when you get it with Jesse Ventura's new book, 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read, an amazing page turner that's perfect to wake people up. You get one of my films, whatever you choose, absolutely free. The Obama Deception, Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, Endgame, Fall of the Republic, all available at Infowars.com. And get the books, read them yourself, pass them on to others, get the DVDs, make copies of my films. Every person you wake up is one step closer to defeating the globalists. And you heard the listener earlier who was talking to an Iraq, Afghanistan veteran. He saw Terror Storm and totally woke up. That's all it takes, folks. These films are powerful. Again, Infowars.com, or you can download all the films in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv or call toll-free 888-253-3139. Let's talk to Joe in Illinois. You're on the air. Go ahead. John in Illinois. Can't read.
Okay, kudos to Richard Gage. I saw him last night in Evanston, Illinois. His presentation gets more polished every time I see him. But getting to the meat, what I wanted to bring up about this nuclear business, I'm sure that you're already aware of this, but I haven't heard this thrown out into the media of late, and that is the law called the Price-Anderson Act. You're aware of that law?
Yeah, fill folks in.
Yeah, okay. The Price-Anderson Act was passed in 1957 to limit the liability of any utility that uses nuclear power generation. And the industry would not exist today except for that law, because the insurance actuaries would not insure nuclear power.
Well, that's like vaccines. For over 40 years have had liability protection, so they can kill you, hurt you, and can't get in trouble because of a federal law there as well.
Yes, indeed. And one more point before I go. In Jesse's new book, The 63 Documents, I was paging through it, and I saw that one document that had been gotten by Think Progress about the Koch brothers' organization of trying to thwart, promote freedom. And the Koch brothers, as you probably know, have been demonized by the leftist press, like Media Matters, etc., of late. And I was wondering if you could delve into exactly if this is just a case of demonization, or if the Koch brothers are really in on the New World Order, or just what the hell's going on.
All right, I appreciate your call. Great point, John. I have read the book. I read it a month ago. I wasn't allowed to ship it out, but we had these books a month ago. And that was the one document that I thought was the only part of the book I didn't really like. But there's 63 of them. And it exposes Democrats, it exposes Republicans, and Dick Russell, we'll get Dick Russell on, the author, because he's the guy that wrote most of it with Jesse Ventura, and, you know, as Jesse said last week here on the show, and that's kind of a cause celeb thing to attack as the Koch brothers. I don't think they're perfect, but they are kind of like mainline Republicans slash neocons who do promote some free market things. I mean, compared to George Soros, they're angel cakes. But they're definitely part of the left-right paradigm. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're already working on getting Dick Russell, the co-author with Jesse Ventura, of 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. And I would call him from many perspectives kind of a classical mainline liberal. And of the 63 documents, the only one in here, and I think it's all still informative, that I don't really agree with being put in the book, and we sell the book and promote the book, is the Koch Industries document. And it says, if not us, who? If not now, when? And it goes on to say, you know, join us twice a year for our network of leaders trying to promote a free society. And then you read the code, attracting principal leaders and investors who will effectively defend our free society. Sharing best practices and opportunities to defend our free enterprise system from destructive public policies. Fashioning the message and building the education channels to reestablish widespread belief in the beliefs of the principles of the free and prosperous society. Compare this to Cass Sunstein and his memos. Arrest people that disagree with us. Get people's guns. You know, White House science czar. Put stuff in the water. Sterilize people. The Koch brothers, from what I've read of these meetings, put out a lot of really good information. See, this document comes from Think Progress, you notice, which is George Soros connected. And they just don't like it that there are some old line conservatives that are out there putting a little bit of their money into resisting the globalists. But it doesn't matter. They resist with a Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity type thing that, you know, torture's good, drug war's good, wars are good, just don't raise my taxes. And so, you know, all this sounds really great what the Koch brothers are doing. It's just kind of silly when you realize that they're not really implementing this stuff. And it's even more silly than when you read the book in this one little document of 63. It's a few pages. That you read all this stuff and most of it sounds like really great ideas. Ooh, dirty, bad. But then you read the stuff coming out of George Soros and the stuff being pushed by the, quote, left arm of the globalists. People always ask me, are you a conservative or are you a liberal? Well, pick whatever term you want. If you go back to Thomas Jefferson, you know, he was seen as a liberal, classical liberal. And I would identify with almost all of the views of Thomas Jefferson. Today, he'd be considered a right-wing terrorist extremist. these terms don't really mean anything. Are you pro-liberty or anti-liberty? Yes, I'm pro-gun. Yes, I don't like abortion. Yes, I'm for private property rights. Yes, I'm for lower taxes. People say, well, you're a conservative. Well, I'm also against torture and all these illegal wars and the lies that take us to war. So I'm against it when Obama does it. I'm against it when Bush does it. I mean, I'm the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. Occasionally, you know, I slightly change views as I learn more. But overall, I'm the same guy. My job's easy. Just tell the truth. History's pretty obvious, pretty clear. The globalists are clear on what they're doing. And so when Bush is in office, I'm a communist, the media says. And now that Obama's in office, I'm a right-wing extremist. And it's all meant to put things in little simple stereotypes so people don't engage in complex thought processes. That's all that's happening. And so when we get, and guys remind me if I forget when he's on, when we get Dick Russell on the next few weeks, because we were already lining that up. In fact, maybe we'll just try to get him this week. I will commend him on most of the book. But I didn't want to, you know what, in the punch bowl when Ventura was on and even get to this. Because, I mean, this is like a shout out, kind of like a bone to kind of mainline liberals. Their religion is shaking under their tables and beds at night, afraid of the Koch brothers. And mainline Republicans shaking under their bed from the Muslims, they're going to get them. But George Soros and all his funded groups, I mean, they're just mad that somebody's out there not going 100% on their agenda. And there's become kind of a fight between the Koch brothers, Fox News, against and vice versa with the Obama in 08, Hillary Clinton, Clintonista. I mean, the issue is, if you follow the real policies of Democrats, it's communism to transfer your wealth to the international fascist system. See, communism delivers to the fascists, not communism and fascism fighting with each other. Cameras, black uniforms, secret police, high taxes on the general public. Hitler had it, Stalin had it. And so at the end of the day, people try to put us in a box because they just can't even figure out reality. But we'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Talkers Magazine is the prestigious, and there's a lot of good ones out there, inside baseball, talk radio, publication of decades. And I was on the cover of last month's Talkers, and I'm the keynote speaker at the two-day event. But I was noticing in New York on June 10th and 11th, I'm the keynote speaker Saturday, and it says that the evening before, there's the 8 to 10 p.m. cocktail party. I guess you've got to get drunk before you meet Sean Hannity. And then I guess after he gets off Fox News, he comes over there 10 to midnight. Sean Hannity will be hosting dessert party. needless to say, ladies and gentlemen, I'll probably be in Little Italy or something that night getting some good food. Not that I don't want to be around all these radio people, and I'm honored to be going and being the keynote speaker, but they've got me there to explain why I'm exploding and most of these other talk show hosts are imploding, and it's simple. You know, we had our earlier caller, and I get a lot of these calls, am I a left-winger or a right-winger? I'm an issue-driven person. I'm against abortion. Not Republican or Democrat. I'm against lying and launching all these illegal wars for empire. Is that Republican or Democrat? Say what? I'm against torture. I'm against open-air genetically modified organisms that are spreading into the biosphere. Is that liberal or conservative? I'm against the private Federal Reserve vertically integrating our economy and raping our population. Is that liberal or conservative? No, I'm a constitutionalist. And 230 years ago, I would have been called a liberal like Thomas Jefferson. When Bush is in office, I'm called a communist. When Obama's in office, I'm called an extreme hard righter. When I was on Tom Hartman's TV show last week. Now the hard right talk show host, the extremist, it's ridiculous. You know, Obama's supposedly a liberal, but torture, wars, police state, Patriot Act, it's all expanding. They act like they're fighting with each other, but the agenda rolls forward. Republicans and Democrats got rid of Glass-Steagall in 99, along the derivatives. Republicans and Democrats don't want to reinstate Glass-Steagall. They want to continue, unless you're talking about a Ron Paul or Dennis Kucinich. So, to oversimplify it, Democrats are basically at the top communist who transfer the wealth to the offshore fascist. They say they're anti-war, but expand just as many wars as Republicans. They say they're anti-torture, but they love it and push it. They say they're anti-secret arrest and military tribunals, but they push it. Republicans love war, love torture, love death. That is the mainline ones. They say that's tough and conservative when it's the opposite. Conserve means conserve our values. The founders were not for any of that. And so when you get down to real policies, except for football issues, they pass back and forth, gay marriage and stuff, there's no difference, not a dime's worth of difference. And so that's where I stand on all of this. But on actual issues, you read the Republican Party platform of Texas for two decades or more, I agree with about 98% of it. It sounds like something Ron Paul wrote. But they don't implement any of that. The rhetoric's one thing. So I guess some say, oh, well, you're a Republican, because I tend to agree with the rhetoric of Republicans more. The difference is I actually try to deliver. So that's basically it. So I just thought I'd make the joke about Sean Hannity. Who knows? I might go to all these events while I'm there and talk to these guys, but I want to be friendly while I'm there, though, and then that almost feels dirty. But I know I can learn a lot of intel while I'm there. So I might just put on my corporate attitude. I don't think I've ever done that. But just go in there to learn and bumble around with these people. But I will imagine that it's going to be like they're basically inviting, in their view, the Wicked Witch to the Lollipop Guild meeting. Of course, from my perspective, there'll be many Wicked Witches there, and I'm from the Lollipop Guild. We're going to see what happens at this event. But, I mean, it's the CEOs, Clear Channel, Premier, all the big networks, CBS, NBC, Jones Broadcasting, all of them are going to be there. And I've been told by the folks that head up Talkers, they've got a lot of requests for me to be there. So why I'm being invited to this, we're going to discover. But we know why. It's because of our incredible meteoric explosion. And because the system's getting scared. I mean, they realize that talk radio's lost less than broadcast TV or cable TV. But it's losing out as well. Not just to the internet, but because people are so sick of partisan-driven politics. In fact, that's what Talker says. It says, Alex Jones, keynote. And it says, Alex Jones will serve as the keynote speaker at the New Media Seminar 2011. He will share insights into internet success and suggest alternative approaches to issues, talk, programming on terrestrial radio outside rigid partisan formats. Well, I'm partisan for liberty. I'm partisan for family. I'm partisan for free market, real free market, not a bunch of bankers changing the laws to be able to sell derivatives in the market and then have government sign on to it. Too big to fail. I'm against this corporate fascistic system that uses socialism to scoop up the wealth. All right, let's move quick now because I want to go to Bill, Extra, Ian, Dustery, if I'm pronouncing that right, and Clayton and others. Bill, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Alex. I predict after you give your speech in New York that radio in this country will never be the same again, because I believe you'll be creating a cadre of followers, of radio broadcaster followers, who are going to imitate your success, which will be a good thing, even if they're not sincere about it. So I think
I've been told that's what that's why I'm requested, is that they're basically, like Glenn Beck did, going to take a lot of what I do and then basically twist it into whatever they want. But I think some of them will actually wake up and go all the way.
Well, I think a good portion, if any of them have any intelligence at all, and they look at all the research that you've done over all these many years, as well as all of your guests, your esteemed guests that you've had on over these many years, they'll see that it's all 99.9% accurate. So I really do think it'll be transformational, and it'll really change things in this country from that point going forward. On another point, I actually have two more quick points.
Yeah, go ahead.
Regarding Beck, I found him just to be entirely unwatchable. And I just couldn't follow what he was saying. He would change his logic from one broadcast to the next. And
well, that's what that's why the main reason they say they canned him was that it was a confused message. And I mean, one minute he's talking about myself in imaginary triple X disease type stuff that I can't even describe, and the next minute now he's our spiritual leader and Paul Revere. I mean, I'm sorry, folks, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, his behavior was at times very bizarre, and I also found it despicable that he wouldn't allow you to appear, and I would imagine it was a Judge Napolitano's show. I found that really, like, low, and, like, it showed his true character, in my opinion.
Well, what I was told previously on other shows is Glenn Beck doesn't like you being on here. He causes a lot of problems. I'm not going to say the name of the – it's multiple shows. And then other ones were he'll come after producers if they do. And then I had multiple guests say, well, Glenn Beck, I first came on your show, but now I want to – you know, I was going to go on his, and I was in the green room, and he said, listen, don't go on Alex Jones anymore, or I'm not going to have you on here anymore. And so he definitely, that's the whole point behind the scenes. But now we know why. He says he's going to have these grassroots info warriors on the streets. He's going to go mainly internet. He's threatened because he basically needs to get rid of me or suppress my rise so that the bona fide real McCoy, you know, real product doesn't show up what he's doing. I mean, it's real simple business from his perspective. And you know, trying to block me from going on Fox, trying to do things like that, it shows that he basically is watching our every move.
Yeah, but it also shows that he doesn't have any real message of his own. And we out here in the listening and viewing world, we can see right through that. And I think most people will see through that, and that's why you saw his demise, his ultimate demise at Fox.
Yeah, you notice that came after all those big articles about him twisting what I do, and I was told that was an ingredient in it. But it was also him losing the entire young audience. Like, he says his new plan is to reach the young. Folks, the young are not going to follow an effeminate fairy over the edge of a cliff. I mean, I'm sorry, does Glenn Beck radiate true surety or masculinity? No, he doesn't.
Right.
You notice he attacked me from an effeminate fairy. He said, I'm an effeminate fairy. That's because he's an effeminate fairy, and he knows it.
Yeah, I mean, and it was very, you know, it was just immature. It was meaningless garble is the way I saw it.
Well, he was starting to do some good with people like G. Edward Griffin on, but that's done in desperation to get the liberty market as they see it.
Right. And my last point is that you had mentioned that you have, on one of your last shows, you had said that many congressmen tune in to listen to your show during the lunchtime. And I thought, you know, I was thinking, in light of all the overwhelming evidence that you and your guests have compiled regarding the treasonous activities of so many who have falsely claimed the label of American citizen, don't you think this would be a good time for these congressmen to come forward and to begin the process of seeking prosecution of these traitors?
Well, I had Bruce Fine, the big constitutional lawyer, endorsed by Ron Paul, on. He's circulating articles of impeachment. And I have had a lot of congressmen on over the years, you know, who during the break will say, yeah, I listened to you on this station or that station, or we listened to you over the internet at the Capitol. In fact, I'm having one of those moments. Who was the congressman from Tennessee? I know he listens almost every day when he's in the district.
Oh, Cohen?
Sorry, say it again.
Oh, I'm thinking of Cohen from Jesse Ventura.
No, not Steve Cohen that went after the show. I know him so well. I'm having that point is I never interviewed him before. When we got him on as a guest, he said, yeah, we listen to the show almost every day. But I've had a lot of congressmen tell me that, and it's shocking. Because, I mean, I don't see myself as some, you know, big, huge, wonderful guy. I'm just somebody here telling the truth. People call in and say, oh, you're such a hero for fighting tyranny. Folks, I'm in this chamber as well with the poison gas coming in. We got to get out of this new world order. I mean, we hang together or hang separate. Thank you, Bill. More calls straight ahead. Stay with us, then, Colonel Anthony Schaefer. Look, turnabout's fair play. I don't like sitting here talking bad about Glenn Beck, but he is leading his listeners into a dead end or over the edge of a cliff. We're trying to get people to not follow us, but to wake up, see the world through their own eyes, but to start really questioning what's happening, and then to get involved however you see fit. We're going up a mountain against the enemy. I'm not asking you to get behind me. I'm asking you to get beside me. And, you know, as for, you know, calling Glenn Beck an effeminate fairy, that pull up Urban Dictionary, a male who acts slightly feminine but not necessarily means that they are gay. And I'm not saying it's he's bad, whatever Glenn Beck's into. The point is that watching him, seeing him doing acting lessons on YouTube, he just prances around and twinkle eyes and, you know, comes off like a theater teacher or something. And I'm not... That doesn't matter. And I'm sick of talking about Glenn Beck. Okay. It's hard to not talk about him when I get compared to him so much for the political information I've been covering for 16 years. He's been anti-New World Order for three max. And I wish that he was a good guy, and I'm tired of talking about him. We're not saying he's a broke back pixie, and it doesn't matter. I'm not judging people. I don't dislike people for whatever, you know, floats their boat. The issue is Glenn Beck's attacked me because Charlie Sheen had gotten off drugs, and he was there with nurses and people at his house and invited me out there to help him stay sober. And I was like, you're working out, you're gaining weight, you know, you look great. And he took it out of context and said that, you know, me and Charlie must be in, you know, the shower together. This is the type of stuff that Glenn Beck talks about and is into, and I've seen other weird statements about other people. And there's something going on there. That's all I'm saying. So he definitely is living in a glass house on that front, and that's what he thinks of his audience, to take stuff out of context and go, how weird. You know, he's saying, Charlie, you're clean. What does that mean? You're in shape. You know, you're working out. Because Charlie was on a seven-month jag on hard drugs and lost like 25 pounds and was in bad shape. And he was, again, a Christian when I knew him 6.5 years ago. Now, you know, he's like, I don't want to hear about sky gods when I tell him I'm praying for him. And a lot of that's because he started hanging out and going to dinner with who's the guy that's got the show, Bill Maher. And then Bill Maher attacked him this weekend on his show. It's just, you know, you get to be friends with somebody, you care about him. Charlie's gone through a hard time, and it's painful to see all the things he's going through, and now I've gone off into Charlie Sheen, because we never got Charlie on here 6 years ago because, oh, look, a celebrity, you know, is talking about how they like to play golf. We got him on because he contacted us, and he wanted to come on air and talk about 9/11. And I know Charlie's a good guy, and I am praying for him. He's not going to find fulfillment with all those Hollywood people. I'll tell you that right now. All right, enough of that. Extra in Idaho, you're on the air. Go ahead.
It's something pretty important here. The rabbit hole goes deeper and deeper. What I'm about to tell you will paint a pretty clear picture of the current cover-up going on with Fukushima. Now, between 1957 and 64, in a town called Simi Valley, California, only 20 minutes from downtown Los Angeles, a sodium reactor experiment was an experimental nuclear reactor which operated from 57 to 64 and was the first commercial power plant in the world to experience a core meltdown. There was a decade-long cover-up by the U.S. Department of Energy. The detail and of the disposal was not recorded because they didn't have any disposal techniques then because it was so predated. And it looks like there's still thousands of pounds of this sodium coolant that are unaccounted for still.
Yeah, well, I was not aware of that, but I know they've got several experimental reactors here in Austin that almost nobody knows about, even though they're admittedly there. Give me the name of the reactor and the event or the name of the news article, the headline, so we can pull that up.
The facility was Rocketdyne. It's now owned by Boeing, and they tore down the facility as far as current times are. Now,
but what's the name of the article you're reading about it? Rocketdyne Meltdown, Simi Valley?
Yeah, you could just Google that, and it'll pull it right up.
Rocketdyne, Simi Valley, California? Meltdown?
Yeah, Simi Valley. S-I-M-I Valley. Simi Valley.
Simi Valley. Calling it Simi Valley. Simi Valley, Meltdown.
California.
Yes, Simi Valley, California, Meltdown.
Right, and they actually say that this was up to 240 times worse than the Three Mile Island incident. So,
well, that's the issue. They lied about Three Mile Island. They lied about Chernobyl, and now they admittedly have lied about this, and the radiation's going up in the U.S., and the feds won't release the radiation numbers and are now raising the safe levels of what they say is safe. I mean, it just shows you how out of control these people are.
Exactly. One more point I want to bring up. If you YouTube Nuclear Boy, it's a little cartoon. It's kind of brainwashing that the Japanese government released for the children to calm them down about the nuclear problem taking place. And it's just total brainwashing. I actually found out about it because my brother goes to college, and he said that they showed this to him in a class. and this is here in America. So if you actually look that up, too, it's pretty brainwashing. They talk about...
Listen, we'll pull it up, Nuclear Boy. There it is, ABC 7. Decades later, Simi Valley nuclear meltdown still impacts lives. And they go on to admit they covered it up for a long time. There you go, another great caller, another great point. We'll be right back with Colonel Anthony Schaefer. May have to go into some overdrive to get to your phone call. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer is a U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel who gained fame for his reports about the federal government mishandling intelligence reports before September 11th attacks and for the censoring of his book, Operation Darkheart. And instead of going through his long bio, just know that he ran some of the biggest operations against al-Qaeda and was continually blocked from going after him. And now we have Fox News and AP reporting the head of al-Qaeda, the head of operations under the fairy tale creature bin Laden, Amiral Lockheed, hanging out secretly at the Pentagon, al-Qaeda forces, even the Wall Street Journal reports, forming the core cadres from the beginning with British Special Forces and now U.S. CIA backing them up in eastern Libya. They've got another Muslim connected to the Muslim Brotherhood with the French invading Ivory Coast and going into the capital and taking out the elected president. It's in the BBC that the rebels are reportedly killed thousands with machetes and machine guns. So that's your humanitarian action. When we had Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer on a few months ago, he said from being there for years in Afghanistan, his view is we need to get out of there. Our country's going bankrupt. And now another war, and AFRICOM looks like it's moving fully into Africa. I don't know his views on the current operation, but we got him on to talk about the things that are happening and to give us his view on it. Colonel Schaefer, good to have you here with us again.
Thank you for having me, Alex. Good to be on with you again.
Again, joining us via video Skype for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Sir, so much is happening. You heard my preface. What's your overall view on what's happening in North Africa, what's happening in Ivory Coast, what's happening in Afghanistan, the same tactic of it's always a year more, always a year more?
Well, I think the bottom line is we have no clear policy, and therefore if you don't really have a policy, you really kind of meander around. I think AFRICOM, for example, was set up really to be a non-combat command, and I think that's what most people really focused on. Last year, my think tank, Center for Advanced Defense Studies, that I'm the director of communications for, had a Hill conference on AFRICOM, and where the focus really was, and I believe most folks thought it should be, is trying to focus on outreach and helping the countries that are really that are autonomous really find their way. And what we're, I think, finding is that no one wants to leave them alone and let them do their own thing. I think everybody from the West somehow thinks that we know better than them, and therefore we need to jump in and try to help them out. And I know the liberal community does not want us to do military things there. Frankly, I think you probably agree with me on this. We don't really have the resources to do military things there, and yet somehow we're doing military things there. So I think that's the part of the difficulty right now, is that without having a clear idea of what we're doing, we have a tendency to draw ourselves in to these military conflicts. And I think what we're seeing in Libya was is a prime example. And I don't know, Alex, if you track what I said, from day one, I felt that we were on a path to another Bosnia.
Yes.
And frankly, we don't need to do that. I mean, you know, this is a tribal issue. This isn't Libya in particular. That's not a democratic uprising. It's tribe on tribe. And now with Ivory Coast, I think we're seeing something very very similar, where you have two different factions and, you know, the West involving itself. And don't get me wrong, these nations and the use of machetes and hacking people, I'll never forget the first exposure I had to Ivory Coast was a picture of a guy, of a body sitting on a curve with blood spurting out of it after the guy's head was rolling on the ground. That was the first time I ever saw a picture of Ivory Coast. So these people These tribes have a deep hate for each other. And the idea that we're going to referee and we're going to show them the path to the proper, you know, way of doing things, I just don't think we are able to do that. And we've not been able to do that since we've been there. And the West has been in Ivory Coast, for example, since the 1880s, when Europeans all started, you know, pulling apart Africa for their own colonial purposes.
Yeah, I've read some of the old British history books about that area and how the tribes normally weren't even attacking the Westerners because they were too busy just slaughtering each other 24/7 because they'd been in, you know, 1,000-year-plus blood feuds with each other. But looking at Libya in the north there with all of your inside connections, what's really going on there? Who are the factions? I mean, is this just PR that there isn't a strategic objective, or is there a hidden objective?
Well, the bottom line is there are two basic groups. Gaddafi and his folks, you might have seen my friend Congressman Kurt Weldon's over there right now trying to help get him out of there to go somewhere else. And there's the groups from the east who really were loyal to the monarchy. And don't forget, Alex, you know, the 42 years ago when Gaddafi came to power, he dethroned the monarch there. And for better or for worse, during those 42 years, Gaddafi used his resources, which are primarily oil-related, to benefit those tribes who were loyal to him and basically cut off, make life miserable for those who didn't support him, and that included most of these old tribes. If you look at just what's going on, the banner, the flag that the rebels are using is the old monarchy flag. So what we're seeing here essentially are groups of tribes, one loyal to Gaddafi, and if you noticed that everything was going well regarding the rebels going until they went to Sirte. From Sirte on west, you have a group of towns, for better or for worse, whose tribes have stayed loyal to Gaddafi because they were benefiting from all the resources.
And we also have those eastern tribes with these, you know, hundreds and hundreds of year-old blood feuds. The rebels have been caught lining people up, shooting them, cutting them up. So the Gaddafi loyal forces don't have a choice but to fight because a lot of them are going to be slaughtered and executed under this new government.
You were spot on. And that was one of the things that people continue to miss. It's not like we're jumping in to help a group of good guys. We're going in with, and I know some folks have been upset with me by saying this, but we've chosen sides. We've chosen the rebel side without really knowing what we've chosen. With that said, what's going on there, obviously, is we were blind there, Alex. The brutal truth here is that our intelligence community is so broken. And the State Department was so diverted doing other things, we had no idea what was going on there.
But, Colonel, if I knew this from studying things 5, 6, 7 years ago, just, you know, because I'm into studying different regions and geopolitical things, it's hard to believe that the government and the CIA, I mean, doesn't understand this and hasn't broken down, you know, all the different tribal angles. And then I read about the main rebel leader admittedly was once held in some type of black site, and it brags that he sent al-Qaeda fighters to kill Americans in Iraq. I mean that's all in the mainstream news.
Right, and I think that's part of the problem here. Al-Qaeda, I do believe, whatever you want to call it, has become a franchise, not a real well-organized organization. I think that whatever you want to call Al-Qaeda is trying to take advantage of the situation in Libya and other places. With that said, I think we're jumping in there for two reasons. First, I don't think we know what's going on, so I think out of desperation almost. And let me say something that's going to make me probably very unpopular with some of my friends. General Clapper, the current Director of National Intelligence, doesn't have a clue about what's going on there, let alone other places. So I think there's an old saying, I think it's a Japanese saying, you know, the fish rots from the head. I think we have folks who are primarily politicians first, intelligence professionals second, who are running the intelligence community. Because as you just pointed out, there are people who track this. And I know for a fact there are good men and women in the intelligence community, people like me, who try to do their job and try to say, hey, there's something we need to be paying attention to. But if the political winds aren't just so, they're told not to do it. So I think you're seeing the outgrowth of our inability to actually look at what is real. And so I think you see the administration trying to play catch up. I think, unfortunately, the way the State Department's interpreting all this is an opportunity to jump in with these folks I don't think it's an opportunity. I think it's one of those things where I don't necessarily believe that Gaddafi should stay. However, the devil you know is in some ways better than the devil you don't, because I think there would be huge ethnic cleansing, just like, say it again, Bosnia, what happened in the Bosnia-Herzegovina situation.
Or Rwanda.
Or Rwanda. And this is where I think we should have not interceded the way, you know, and frankly, we're not doing a no-fly zone. It's more like a demilitarized zone, because we're hitting targets on the ground. The Air Force hasn't flown since the second day of the no-fly zone.
And notice since the ragtag NATO people who are never in real wars have gotten into command, they're just bombing anything moving. It looks like mainly the rebels. And I want you to speak to that. But what about this issue of the $34 billion to $37 billion they're saying they're going to give the rebels? They're giving the Al-Qaeda mixed group, the central bank, the oil company, and so if this did go the way Obama and NATO are trying to get it to go, we're going to have a new Islamic republic there. You've already got the quote quasi new government, even in the New York Times reporting in Egypt that is saying they're going to have, just like Iran, the modesty patrols.
Right.
I mean, you're saying the Pentagon, the CIA, and the White House are really that dumb that they don't know they're about to hand Libya over to Muslim extremists?
Well, the alternative is that they know what they're doing, and that makes it even worse. I think the bottom line here, and let's talk about Egypt for a real quick second. I feel terribly about how we treated President Mubarak. I mean, he was no saint, but he did a lot of things to settle that area down. Yeah, I understand that was probably a real legitimate democratic reform movement. The only thing that kept that country together was the Egyptian military, which was trained by us, for better or for worse. With that said, I we've allowed that to kind of go on, and maybe it's best to kind of go in their own direction to figure out what's best for them. However, when you look at Libya, it seems like we've almost pushed things further than they need to be right now, because I think the bottom line in Libya, and as you mentioned, we've not paid well good attention. And Alex, can you imagine the fact that our central bank, the Federal Reserve, loaned the Libyan bank a lot of money during the bailout last few years? So it's kind of like, why are we supporting all these folks? And now we're talking about money going to a rebel group who we don't fully understand. We don't know what their loyalty is going to be. And if I were them, I would take the money and do whatever the heck I want, no matter what we think that they're going to do.
Well, absolutely. But I mean, weapon systems to people. I saw that West Point report from a few years ago that just got attention in the last 2 weeks, where they broke down that Libya per capita was the greatest deliverer, not Afghanistan, not even Saudi Arabia, to real jihadi al-Qaeda fighters.
Right.
And that's our ally in the East.
Well, and that was part of the problem. And I was talking to some of my friends down at Central Command, and they pointed out to me when this all first started that, you know, we essentially did not go deep enough in trying to understand what Gaddafi was doing during the time he was in power. And up until this decade, they've still been running training camps in the western part of Libya, training radicals, training terrorists. And so they've almost, I think, taken advantage of the fact that they had this capacity to train terrorists, and they've become kind of a terrorist training center, if you will. And because Gaddafi was smart enough to give up his weapons of mass destruction, at least most of them, he was able to cut a deal for himself. So basically, we're still, you know, kind of going in with these despot leaders and still, not really understanding what the end effect is going to be.
Well, Colonel, what does that say, though, that Mubarak, a 31-year dictator propped up by the West, not saying it's good, but bringing some stability, he's stabbed in the back. He says, I won't step down. The White House says, you will step down. He magically has a stroke, never seen again. We now have Gaddafi, 6 years ago, makes a deal, hires U.S. PR firms. Bush says we're now basically leaving him alone. He gets bailout money of taxpayer money under the table. He's now, with the African Union, agreed to transition power and leave in the next few years. They're saying no to that. What message does this send? Now we see Saudi Arabia in the Times of London saying, we want to make a deal with Russia and China. We don't trust the U.S. anymore. We now see even Jordan freaking out. I mean, this overall, the method of the madness here is a destabilization of the entire region.
Well, I think there's a fundamental reason why we are so badly looked upon there is, frankly, goes back to the end of the Cold War. Everywhere else in the world, once the Cold War ended, we kind of backed off and let things be. Europeans, if you've noticed, we've downsized greatly. You know, we're talking about having just a small amount of troops in Germany now. I think the Germans at first wanted that. Now they're not so sure. I think they want us to stay there somewhat. Same in Asia. We really backed off. The only place we've really been doing anything in the way of terrorism stuff, anti-terrorism stuff, is the Philippines. And frankly, they've asked us to come in and help them with that. So that's not really a big deal. The problem with the Middle East, though, is that because of our own interest regarding resources, we kept a very heavy boot on essentially the throat of a lot of the people. And not we so much, but those individuals, those dictators, we worked with. And I know this is a harsh thing to say, but it's essentially the truth. We, in our own self-interest, sided with the individuals, those leaders of those countries, which treated their people very badly. So, surprise, surprise, not really. You've got the people now seeing us in the same bad light as they've seen these dictators, and so we are part of that process. One of the great ironies here is that the Iranian people, a lot of the younger people, they like us. They like the idea of freedom, and one of the reasons that they have wanted this Western lifestyle and what a lot of the West stands for is because they don't see us, the U.S., as part of the very restrictive regime there. So we are seeing the end results of, I think, some policies which we knew going in may be tough for the long term, but we decided to seek short-term goals of trying to seek resources and things to sustain our economy rather than understanding better and trying to deal with the long-term consequences of unstable of populations which are, for better or for worse, looking to be free.
Well, looking at the end game here, briefly, what would you have done with Libya? A. B. Looking at the real policies and this quagmire with the politicians now saying he must go, they've thrown down the gauntlet. Now we have this U.S. general saying, yeah, ground troops may have to go in with the troop ships off the coast. I mean, I think the real policy here is they're probably going to, quote, put in a humanitarian backup force.
Well, it'll be called peace support if it goes in. That's the military term for it. But with that said, first off, I agree 100% with Secretary of Defense Gates that this was ill-advised. We just don't have a sufficient knowledge of understanding everything that's going on to jump in. If you wanted to do something, if we had to do something, I would have done two things differently than President Obama. First, the moment the Arab League said we support the humanitarian aspects, I would have said fine. I would have notified Congress, implemented the War Powers Act. I wouldn't have gone to the UN. I would have just acted, set up this no-fly zone. And then, Alex, what I would have done at that point in time is demand Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and other Arab nations step in. And this is a big mistake we always make. Those nations are as rich as any nation has ever been, those larger Arab nations.
Saudi Arabia has a gigantic military.
They do. And so I don't understand it. And if you recall recently, within the last few weeks, Qatar actually bragged on itself by saying, well, the Saudis have deposed their own leadership, so we're here. So I would have picked the Qatar or some other nation to take the lead and make it an Arab force going in there to deal with Arab issues. Otherwise, we're the ones who look like an imperial power. We're, instantly, if you recall, right after this all started with our lead, the Arab League said, oh, we didn't know this was going to happen. So, we need to get out of the middle of this.
And then if the Arabs say, well, you've got to help us spread democracy, well, great, then you do it. And that's what George Washington said, just stay out of it. But when we come back, Colonel, you probably wouldn't have ever even done this, but we'll let you answer that question and see if my guess is right versus what you would have done. Then we'll talk about in the final few minutes what you now think is going to happen. We'll be right back. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com. New book is Operation Darkheart. Final segment, retransmission coming up at InfoWars.com and blasting out on wonderful AM and FM stations all over the country. Be sure and support those local station sponsors or sponsor the show. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer's with us for a few more minutes. His book, Operation Darkheart, much of it got censored. Of course, it's been a bestseller on bookstands everywhere. What's the best website for folks to visit, Colonel?
Two of them. You can always go to our think tank. We've done a lot of work, and basically we have something called Radicalization Watch. We look at where things are happening. As a matter of fact, I was taking a lot of information out of our report on this very issue today before I came on with you. www.c4ads.org and OperationDarkheart.com is my book site, so you guys can check that out there too.
All right, we're almost out of time here. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Pat.
We've already answered you know, the question of, well, if it had to happen, what would you do? But bottom line, would you, if you were the president, would you have gone along with this operation?
No, not the way it was planned. Much like military operations, like comedy, it's all about the timing. I think the timing was awkward. I think the policy is still very unclear. And, you know, I'm sorry, I disagree with Secretary Clinton and President Obama. Our objectives are not clear. Clearly, this was not a short kinetic thing. I knew that the day this started. So I think we need to be much more realistic. And for better or for worse, I think Congress needs to have a say in this, since they're the ones who appropriate the money and pay the bills. So.
Well, sure. I mean, you still are, you know, in the reserves and can be called up active duty any time, so you can't say much about the commander-in-chief. But I did have the constitutional law scholar who's circulating the articles of impeachment on the Hill and getting some traction, Mr. Fine, last week, and he pointed out that this is Caesar crossing the Rubicon. No consultation with Congress, nothing. Just the UN says attack, and we say absolutely, and within 36 hours, the bombing is on. He's saying this is an impeachable offense.
Well, I've been critical of President Bush in a number of things over the past years, of, you know, during the time I've worked within DOD. But frankly, when President Bush decided to go to war with Iraq, he sought congressional support first, then he went to the UN. I think that is the proper way of doing it. And frankly, I don't know. I'm not a legal completely. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I do study law a little bit. I don't understand how it was legal to use that amount of appropriated money. And keep in mind, this had to come from somewhere. $1 billion has been spent in the United States name, in our name, going into to do what we're doing in Libya. And I just don't think that congressional leaders had proper ability to assess this. And I'm sorry, this is war. And I don't know what else to call it when you start using that level of force. And you did have military objectives one way or another. So anytime you have military objectives, to me, that's a war.
Congress does the taxes, the spending, the war, and more they become ceremonial. In closing, how do you see this ending on the current trajectory?
Well, unfortunately, I see us going meandering down the path we did with Bosnia. Somehow, I believe, unless Gaddafi is able to leave within the next couple of weeks, we're going to be in for a long haul like we did with Bosnia. I predict that we may be there for, you know, another 5-10 years at the rate we're going, unfortunately.
And they already launched cruise missiles into his compound. I mean, that breaks international law right there, trying to assassinate him, and then they say they're not. This guy's got a long history of staying dug in. I don't think he's going anywhere.
I don't think so either.
So what do you think about the different generals that have been in the news saying the ground troops are ready?
Well, I think clearly, militarily, Alex, there's nothing we can't do. I do believe that we have still the strongest military in the world. Unfortunately, having it and using it are two very different things. I still believe we need to finish work in Afghanistan. Iraq, I'm reading, is not as stable. I think that's an underreported news area there. I think there's a lot more going on than the American people really understand. I think it's why the Pentagon now, if you recall, recently has talked about rethinking our departure this coming summer. So The big thing, Alex, and I think you and I would agree on this, we need to agree upon what our national interests really are, and then set that up as our policy and go from there.
And the Congress needs to then come up with that and then hand it to the executive to execute. You know, the Congress is like the football coach and the president's the quarterback, but he can't do anything without being handed the play. Colonel Shaver, thank you so much for spending time with us with the book Operation Dark Heart. We'll talk to you again soon about the Iraq situation.
Thanks. Take care.
Stay with us, folks.